Good afternoon, Steeler Nation. This is Rudy Rude Dog Reyes on the RudeDogShow.com. Yeah, I've been looking over some numbers. I have seen numbers come and I've seen numbers go, along with players that have came and players that have gone. And with me to discuss a lot of these dynamics, including what the Steelers' needs are heading into the 2016 NFL Draft, the one, the only, Dale Lally. Welcome, Dale. How are you?
I'm doing good, Rudy. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. It's a little bit warmer than it is in Pittsburgh. It's snowing there, and I'm in about 82-degree weather. So you couldn't get more opposite than that.
Well, yeah, throw that in my face, why don't you?
Okay, I wasn't trying to. But now that we're talking numbers, let's go over some numbers here. Steelers are kind of plus-minus in the area of gap. Between plus and minus, not only talking what their numbers have been in the past, but where players are currently standing now, and the Steelers aren't really sitting as pretty as other people think they are. What is the current situation from your standpoint as to what the Steelers' numbers are, and how do you feel those numbers may change plus or minus heading into the 2016 NFL Draft and player restructuring?
Look, I saw the article in the Post-Gazette the same as everybody else, and Ed Bruchette's a friend of mine. I respect Ed's work, but I think somebody fed Ed some false information there. I trust what I see on some of these websites. I go to different websites and check out the numbers, and looking at the numbers as I see them now, the Steelers are probably around, you know, $5 to $8 million under the cap. And we don't know what the projected cap is going to be at this point. I'm guessing around $153 to $154 million is kind of a soft cap. And so I think the Steelers have a little bit of room. Obviously, they're going to cut Cortez Allen. He's not going to be here next year. That's going to be some cap savings. They're going to do something with Sean Sweezum as well. He won't be here. That'll be more cap savings. And there's some restructures that they can do that are pretty simple. Extending Lawrence Timmons to lower that $15 million cap number that he has for next year. They can do some stuff with Ben Roethlisberger, some other guys here that they can free up some cap space. The reason why I truly believe that Ed's story was a little off base is because covering the Steelers as long as I've never seen them go into a situation in the offseason where they hadn't looked down the road before that and you know, kind of guess what the cap was going to be and then got themselves under that. Now, I realized that back in 2011, 2012, they did have some cap issues, but that was because the cap stayed stagnant, and nobody could have projected that it wasn't going to go up, and in fact was going to go down a little bit. I really believe that the Steelers do a good job of managing their cap in terms of maximizing everything that they can get out of it, and that's the one thing that I think that they do well compared to some other teams out there. And so I really believe they're in not as dire cap shape as Ed's story would have led everybody to believe.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at some dead monies for 2015. You had players that were owed between Lamar Woodley, Paul Malu, Scobie, and obviously those are no longer on the books. And as far as what's available, somewhere in the neighborhood of $800,000 assigned to this year's cap. So not as much as a year's previous. And so when I read the article, I thought to myself, well, $30 million? I just can't see that being a real number, considering all the players that are currently on the roster, those that need to be restructured. You had mentioned Lawrence Timmons. And of course, when you have a soft secondary, you know, Timmons would have to step up to do the majority of the work, and I've seen him do it because of the soft secondary, not to necessarily take any players' heads off, proverbially speaking, but there are some players, you had mentioned Cortez Allen, which he had a horrible camp, horrible preseason, and I completely agree with you. I don't see him being a part of the roster. The Steelers are going to end up taking the bullet on this over-exalted contract that they had given Cortez Allen originally. And so you have players like Antonio Brown with the difference of $5,250,000. You have Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro. Of course, David DeCastro doing so much more work with the loss of Marquise Pouncey out due to an injury that kept him sidelined all season long. But he's in the fifth year of his rookie deal. He's got a lot of money coming his way, and to be honest with you, at the end of the day, it's really deserved. And then talking offense, still we're looking at Alejandro Villanueva, who was a surprise to not only me but to everybody else, doing what he had done. But again, with that being said, because of his unfamiliarity with that exact position, there were a lot of penalties called to him, some holding, things of that nature, maybe gaps not being open for Le'Veon prior to his injury, but able to find a way to manage through his unfamiliarity to become relatively familiar by the end of the year. Do you think Alejandro Villanueva may be still on a contract? Do you think they're going to try to work that also, considering his unfamiliarity with his exact position?
Well, he's not going to go anywhere, and I think that they're going to let him play another year. I don't know that you go into next season with him as necessarily as the starter. I certainly think he'll be in the mix, depending on what happens with Kelvin Beachum or whether they're able to bring somebody else in to kind of be that kind of guy, a swing guy or even a left tackle type. There's some guys out there that are interesting to me. Will Beatty, Stevenson from Kansas City, I think is a guy that I would look at. And I think that, they're certainly going to move forward with Al. And I think that, he certainly showed them a lot. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to question his toughness. And I think he could turn into a nice quality player in the NFL, but he was kind of thrown into that last year, and you saw him struggle at times. There were times where he just got overmatched just because of whether it was his technique or speed of the game. But I think he's going to get better. He's a young guy. He hadn't played a lot of tackle since college, really since his junior year of college. So he's going to get better. I don't know that I would feel necessarily comfortable going into the season next year with him as my only option at left tackle. If I'm the Steelers, I'd like to have somebody else there as well, just in case. And you need somebody who can play that position as well. It's, in case you run into another situation like you had this year where, Kelvin Beachum goes down and nobody knew for sure that Alejandro Villanueva could play left tackle in the NFL. It was kind of an unknown at that point, and I don't think that they like to put themselves into those kind of situations. I think they'd like to improve their depth, not only there, but along the defensive line, in that secondary, so there's some positions they need to fill.
Absolutely right. Kelvin Beachum has gone on record that he is not going to play any other position other than the one that he was designed to play. Now, granted, there are a lot of teams in the NFL who could use Kelvin Beachum's experience, and obviously he has a lot of it. Do you believe the Steelers will end up keeping Foster and Beachum, or do you believe they'll just allow Beachum to test the market and see where he lands, and if he doesn't land anywhere, they would take him back with open arms?
Well, it sounds to me like he wants to test the market, and his agent did a smart thing by sending him out to the Super Bowl this year and having him kind of, show everybody that, hey, look, I'm still here, I'm walking, I'm recovering well, and kind of keeps his name out there. Anytime you have a guy coming off a major injury like that, there's going to be some questions about him, and I think that the Steelers, with their doctors having worked on him all season and knowing what what his injury was and everything and knowing the ins and outs of it, I think they have the best chance to re-sign him. Now, he's not going to get true left tackle money, I don't think, even on the open market. And I think, to me, I think there's a better chance of re-signing him than there is Ramon Foster. I think Ramon Foster will get a better contract offer than what the Steelers are willing to pay him on the open market. And it's going to be one or the other coming back. I don't see both of them coming back. But if I were a betting man, I would bet on Beachum at this point. But you never know. I mean, once you get into free agency, it only takes one team to fall in love with a guy or think that guy's the answer to their problems. The other thing against Kelvin Beachum is that he's undersized. I mean, he was the smallest starting left tackle in the NFL, and a lot of teams just aren't going to be comfortable with that, and they're not going to give him that big contract that he thinks he might deserve. He can say now that he's only a left tackle, but at he goes out and finds that there's not a market there for him at a left tackle, well, you know, he's going to take the money and play whatever position that the team's wanting to play.
And I can completely see that, looking at Kellen Beecham, having interviewed Kelvin myself. He's a very humble guy, but at the end of the day, it's really about dollars. Without those, it makes no sense. So he's going to find somewhere to go. If the Steelers aren't going to pay him, I'm sure he's going to find money somewhere else. But his familiarity with their offensive line, granted he finds another team to dwell on, maybe, and ultimately, not necessarily exaggerating the statement, but basically saying that he may not learn the offensive line in the amount of time they need him to. You know, the types of gaps and play and things of that nature may prove to his disservice. So staying with the offensive line, we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, and the reason why I want to bring him up is because he's making not quite double, but slightly more, $23 million in 2016, difference of, you know, $6,705,000 or somewhere in that genre, and well-deserved. Not only has he been playing injured, but has played injured and has gone out due to injury. Everybody loves Ben Roethlisberger. I enjoy watching him play. I have for a long time since he started for Tommy Maddox when he went down with an injury and obviously became very reliable from that point. Do you believe they're going to try to rework some of that money with Ben Roethlisberger moving in to the 2016 season?
Well, I think that's an easy fix, and I think when they did the contract with Ben, they probably had that in mind. Obviously, you know, he's going to get his money, and I know when people look at those restructures, they think it's kicking the money down the road and that kind of stuff, and it is to a certain degree, but Steelers will do that with guys that they think are going to play out that contract. And so I think they feel that Ben Roethlisberger is going to play out that contract. If they have to do some things, the Steelers always look at things in win now mode. They always go into every season feeling like they have a shot to win the Super Bowl, and so they do everything that they do with that in mind. They're not necessarily looking at 3 years down the road. Now they do keep an eye on those things because they don't want to get themselves in a cap situation. But they have a franchise quarterback. They have to take advantage of that now. And I think that if they need the money to sign somebody, that's one place where they could certainly get it.
Oh, absolutely right. Look, Ben Roethlisberger has taken hits for many years to make sure that he has the talent around him to succeed. He wanted Kevin Colbert to draft a wide receiver, and they found one in Martavis Bryant, and boy, did they find one. This guy went on for record amounts, even though he was suspended for a few games last year, but still able to come out on top and better than most second-year players in the wide receiver position. So sticking with the offensive line, here comes Maurkice Pouncey, who, in my opinion, is very injury-prone. Not that he's not a Pro Bowler caliber center, but he's just injury-prone. And going into regular season games, just like this season, for example, they had to mix and match and hodgepodge and put things together to solidify that center, position. Do you believe he's going to be back? I mean, he's owed $10 million, $551 million. Do you believe they're going to play with him coming off an injury as far as money?
Yeah, I don't think that's an issue at all. I think he'll be back. I think he's been very unlucky. I don't know what I would say he's injury prone. To me, a guy who's injury prone is somebody who's constantly pulling hamstrings or, they have a lot of soft tissue injuries. Maurkice Pouncey hasn't had the soft tissues and injuries. He's been the product of some bad luck. You can look at Le'Veon Bell the same way.
Right.
I've heard people say, well, Le'Veon Bell can't finish the season. Well, he's had two injuries that were kind of flukish. I mean, it's just one of those things that happens in the NFL. Realistically, you could say that every NFL player is somewhat injury prone unless they play every game of every season, and nobody does that.
Right.
So I just think that it's a situation where Maurkice Pouncey, he's making a lot of money next year, but they could end up with two Pro Bowl interior linemen. And in my eyes, I thought Marcus Gilbert certainly played at a Pro Bowl level last year. That right side of the line could be very, very good next year.
Yeah, absolutely right. Marcus Gilbert stepped up in ways game after game. I didn't know that he had it in him. I wasn't doubting him for any amount of time that he was playing, but he just looked that much better, especially this year, especially in the latter part of this past Steeler football season. Let's switch over the other side of the ball. There are, and of course, you probably know where I'm going with this, in the secondary, you have Antoine Blake, who's probably one of the most burnt players in a nickel set than probably any corner in the NFL. Just my opinion. You have William Gay, who they need to resign, in my opinion. Will Allen, he's getting up there in age, but still shows glimpses of what he's able to do on the interior. Steelers need secondary players. They have one in Cinquez Golson to obviously take place of a potential cut in Cortez Allen. Do you foresee them re-signing Gay? And if so, do they also keep Blake, or do you see Antoine Blake gone as well?
Well, I definitely think they try to re-sign Gay. To me, I think they do re-sign Antoine Blake, not necessarily as the starting cornerback. I think you would, at the very least, bring in some solid competition for him. I don't think if they played him all last season to just let him leave after 1 year. I mean, people forget that he's only really had one start 1 year as a starter. He's a guy that you know, they like his mental approach to the game. They like his toughness. And, you know, I think he's going to get better. I don't know that he's ever going to be a star. I think he's fine as your fourth corner, a guy who plays special teams and can step in and you know, if you need somebody. But they definitely need to upgrade that position. You know, you mentioned Will Allen as well. He's up in age. I think they need to do something there. I would re-sign Robert Golden and either draft a young safety, a young strong safety that they can groom, and maybe he pushes Golden aside. Or bring in a veteran guy, a free agent. There's a lot of solid free agent safeties on the market this year, and that's a position where you can get a guy to be a starter. It's not a high profile position in a lot of defenses, and those guys don't get the money that some of the other. You know, I know people want to go out and sign a big name cornerback. That's not going to happen. But you can definitely upgrade that secondary by getting a safety, a strong safety who has better coverage skills and can help you out there.
Right. And speaking of better coverage skills, you probably know the next question. Look, Brandon Boykin was, and the time that he played, not that he played a lot and in the nickel or in the 3-4, maybe even in the cover 2, but when he did play, Brandon Boykin seemed to bring a little bit of swagger to that otherwise, you know, uninterceptable secondary in those Steelers between, look, Ike Taylor was not an interception king by any stretch of the imagination. He was more of a player's, a cover player. And when I say cover player, he primarily played on the person. He didn't necessarily play on the ball. He had a few interceptions here and there, but not as extremely as consistent as what I've seen out of just the playing time Brandon Boykin has been playing. I know the Steelers may want to test him at training camp, but do you foresee them basically letting him go initially, testing the free market, enabling him to find out if it's good or fool's gold, and maybe bring him back in?
I don't see Boykin coming back. I think they need a guy that can start on the outside. You know, I think that if they bring Gay back, they bring Gay back as their nickel corner. You know, they have Cinquez Golson there, who's also a smaller type corner. So I think they need a guy that has some size there. And Ross Cockrell gives you some of that. But I would still, if it was me, like to bring in a guy who has a little more size and, you know, can match up with some of the bigger receivers. I mean, we still have, no matter what Cincinnati does, you have to feel they're still going to have A.J. Green, and they're still going to have, you know, they're going to re-sign one of those free agent receivers that they have, and they're all big guys. So yeah, I think you need somebody who can compete with those kind of guys. And, you know, a couple of inches here or there matters in that situation. Right. And so I don't think they go into next season with a bunch of cornerbacks under 6 foot. I think they at least go out and get at least one decent-sized corner.
Yeah, well, they better, because they lost the fifth round. And again, Antonio Brown was found in the sixth round. So there's definitely a lot of great talent coming out of college, and basically at all levels, Division 1, 2, and 3, and even some coming out of the AFL for all intents and purposes, and that's a whole other story in itself. Let's go to the kicking situation. Sean Sweason was basically extremely accurate prior to his injury. I enjoyed watching Sean play, but there could be some type of casualty in regards to you're going to save money at a $1.8 million release if you do decide to cut Sleazman, who just became a U.S. naturalized citizen. And so now you have a guy who just came in named Ty Long. I had a chance to interview him. Great kid, solid leg kick from either hash. Kind of reminds me of a Jeff Reed, if you will, in the way that he kicks the ball and his actual body language when he goes up to kick that ball off of the hash. Do you believe they're going to cut Sweesum in order to keep Boswell, maybe turn some of that money around and apply it to the defense?
Yeah, I think they almost have to. And I know people are saying, you know, you have to take those guys to camp, but I just can't see them taking both of those guys to camp. You know, things happen. Sometimes you just have to cut bait and move on, and that's nothing against Sean. Sean's a good guy. He's been here a long time and made some big kicks for them, but Boswell was solid this year, and sometimes that, you know, it comes down to dollars and cents, and in this case, I believe that that's what's going to happen. And, you know, I think for Sean's sake as well, it's better for the Steelers if they cut him early as opposed to taking him to camp and cutting him late, because it gives him a chance to go somewhere and show them another team that he can kick. And so I think the Steelers will do that. It would be the honorable thing to do, and that's a lot of times what they do with those kind of guys that, you know, they have respect for them. They're not going to get a draft pick for them. Nobody's going to trade a draft pick for a kicker who's coming off a major knee injury. So I think they just have to bite the bullet there and move on.
Right. Let's stay with the defense. I'm kind of curious about, so I had the pleasure of interviewing Jarvis Jones back in 2014, previous to Steelers training camp. And I asked him straight out, I said, Jarvis, are you ready to go? And he says, man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to show these fans what I can do. And he did. He had some pressures. He had a couple group sacks. And, you know, the big question of the day is this. Do you re-sign Jarvis, or do you restructure his current contract and take the option, or do you cut your losses and maybe find somebody in the free agent market?
I think, given the cap situation, and I've gone back and forth on this, I think they let him play out this year, of his contract, and see where it goes. I don't think that Jarvis is, you know, I think he can be a solid player in the NFL. I don't think he's ever going to be a star and live up to that expectations of fans as a first-round draft pick. But I think he can be a Clark Havens type, a guy who can go out there and be a decent starter for you and get 5, 6, 7 sacks a year. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of his lack of production is largely due to the fact that James Harrison's still going strong, and, you know, they feel the need to keep James Harrison on the field at times just because of his, you know, his ability to diagnose and those kind of things and what he brings to the table. I think Jarvis Jones can be a solid NFL player. I think he's going to get more playing time next year. I think they're going to flip-flop the snap counts with those two guys and kind of, you know, ease James Harrison out and use him in situational pass rusher. But, you know, I think that you let Jarvis play this year out as, you know, under his rookie contract, and then re-sign him next year to something that's a little more palatable than that big guy. You know, they're not going to give him $8 million a year. That's just crazy.
Yeah, absolutely right. I could not agree with you more. And talking about James Harrison, we're going to stay there for half a minute. And the reason why is I remember watching him play in Super Bowl 43 with that 99-yard interception return for a touchdown. I don't know how many times I've watched that particular play. But that is the essence of James Harrison. When you have the conversation about what he encapsulates in his play, it's his passion, his drive, and he showed it. He showed it time and time again. Do you foresee them signing him to maybe a one-year vet minimum, or do you see the Steelers giving him $2 million and with a signing bonus, or how do you see that unfolding?
Well, he's still in the contract for next year, so I think that you know, he's going to be back. He'll play that out unless he decides to retire, and it's a matter of him deciding whether he wants to put his body through that, what it takes for him to train for the regular season. I think he will come back for one more shot because he just saw Peyton Manning win a Super Bowl, and, and get an opportunity to leave on his own terms. I think James sees that this is a really good football team, and he has an opportunity to win one more Super Bowl and be a factor with that. So I think he'll be back next year at that cut rate, and after that, I don't expect to see him back in a Steelers uniform in 2017 for sure. But yeah. 16, yeah, he'll be back.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Lastly, let's talk about what the Steelers' needs are. And right now, as I see it, I'm going to call secondary. I'm going to have to also talk about the quarterback situation as well. Because, look, Ben Roethlisberger, with the injuries that he's ensued, players don't feel these things during the regular season unless it's a catastrophic hit. And we'll talk about Ben for half a second. Because Ben Roethlisberger, there relatively is no heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger, and it takes time to create that heir apparent. It's not an overnight success story. We're not talking about a marketing tool. We're talking about somebody who can legitimately take over the helm after Ben Roethlisberger retires. Do you foresee them in any way, shape, or form either keeping Vic on, and I'm stating that because of the veteran, because he is a veteran, and he does have the time in, and he understands the offense a little bit, and obviously more so if he gets the opportunity to play during training camp and so on. Do they keep Bruce Gradkowski? Do they obviously keep Landry Jones? Do they work out his contract? Is he in the middle of something that they can restructure that would maybe leave some money open in order to draft a quarterback in the latter rounds?
No, they're not drafting a quarterback this year, and they're not bringing back Mike Vick. If anything, they'll bring back Gradkowski as the number two or three and let him compete with Landry Jones, but this is still a year too early. Maybe they address that in 2017, but Roethlisberger, he's got four more years, I believe, left on his contract. Next year's too early. This year's too early to bring in a young quarterback. They're going to go with what they got and maybe sign a veteran guy, Chad Henne or someone of that ilk, if they don't bring Gradkowski back.
Right. Now, and I completely agree with you, and the reason why I'm asking is because it takes a while to get a quarterback to become acclimated, to perform on the field, real-time game. This isn't training camp. Landry Jones went 500. He was 2-2 while Ben Roethlisberger was gone. Not extremely horrible, but not all that great either. He did what he was supposed to do. I just questioned Gradkowski's ability to take that under center, and as you stated, during training camp, find out who has the moxie enough so to allow them that second and or third spot moving into the regular season. So by the end of it, at the end of the day, you're looking at the Steelers under cap at $17 million and change. With the free agent market always a frenzy, Steelers really never make a serious splash. Theirs are done on the low key, on the low side of things. Who do you foresee them acquiring in the free agent market based on what their needs are and what we've discussed?
No big names or anything like that, and I got to wrap this up here. I got another radio interview to do here that they're calling in now, but nothing major. I don't see a major signing here. If I were really going to drop a dime on somebody and on the Steelers, I'd go after Reggie Nelson and move Mike Mitchell to strong safety because you hurt the Bengals and you also get a guy in the secondary that can pick off some passes. But that's just me. I don't know if they'll have the money to do that.
All right, hey Dale, I appreciate your time, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Dale Wally and Rudy Rude Dog Reyes on the RudeDogShow.com. Thanks a lot, Dale.
No problem, Rudy.
You take care.